Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode number
81.
81.
81. Wow.
We've 81 made it. Is already more lively than 80.
80 sounds old and feeble. Yeah. We are on chapter 10, text number 16. Wow. Whoa. We're getting through this chapter, ladies.
We really are.
Quick recap. Very quick recap of the last episode.
Arjuna goes, oh my God, I love you so much. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Arjuna goes like, hey, Krishna, like you are like everything. You are home. You are truth. You are eternal, transcendental, original. Mm. Just you are the greatest. And I'm realizing that not only are you the greatest, but like not everyone gets to understand you. Like if you are a demon or a demigod, they don't really get you.
Right.
And I feel so lucky to know you. Mm. And I accept that what you're telling me is exactly the truth. And then I'm also just like so grateful to know that you are explaining who you are to me. You who is like the origin of all, the God of gods, the Lord of the universe.
Wow. It's what giving. Man would be lucky to hear you say that to him? You just like outpoured your heart and emotion and enthusiasm.
That was all Arjuna. I just paraphrased
that
a little.
That was really good.
It's giving authority.
Beautiful. Nice recap.
Yeah. So basically Arjuna is just kind of has heard a lot about Krishna, understood a lot about Krishna and is saying, wow, totally. I see you. I hear you. And you know what? You are explaining this yourself. I get to hear it from your own mouth. Mm-hmm. This is like the greatest blessing I have.
Yep.
Mm. And he's going to go on to say more stuff.
And what's great is that like in the last episode is Arjuna is talking actually for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
So Krishna was explaining a lot and now Arjuna is like really, he's taking it in now.
Mm. Yes.
Right.
All right. The invocation please, ladies.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Wow. Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Okay, that was 5 out of 5 on Yelp. Okay, if there was a Yelp review for the best invocation mantra, that was my favorite one.
You're so sweet.
I love it. Priya, I actually felt that one like better than all the others. And I was going to say, I love what a fan we are of everyone. Because Shama, you saying wow as if you hadn't heard that 81 times before.
That's true. But I know there's a difference in that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are doing, what you guys are on. It's just like, it feels different. There's like a power there that's so beautiful. And I never say, wow. Like, I'm usually just like, okay, thanks, ladies. All right, it's my turn to speak now. You know, but there's really something beautiful. Don't let it slip below 5 stars.
Okay. We'll try our best.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we are on chapter 10, text number 16, Priyadarshini.
Arjuna is still speaking, and he says, please tell me in detail of your Krishna divines. Let me try that again. Please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you, Krishna, pervade all these worlds.
Ooh. Mm. So we've heard of this word before, opulences, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because when we first read this, I think all of us to ourselves might have thought, wait, didn't we already hear about Krishna's opulences? But that's addressed in the purport, which kind of says, okay, in this verse, it appears that Arjuna is already satisfied with his understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because for him, there's no doubt. Yet he's asking Krishna to explain his all-pervading nature. So we really need to know that basically Arjuna's asking on behalf of the common people.
Yeah, it's not like Arjuna like zoned out and wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Because if you just read this verse without any context, you'd be like, Arjuna, pay attention. No, but he's actually just being so kind to us and just allowing us to hear this.
And thorough.
And thorough. Yeah.
Just being very thorough.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a difference in like when we heard about Krishna's opulences, wasn't that a while back? And then once you have the conversation continues, the level of admiration, of love, of all these things deepens. And now please tell me again your divine opulences, you know?
Yeah, like I'm sure like if anyone, I'll put the example of Shamali. If you were to meet someone and you'd be like, oh yeah, I know how to skate. They'd be like, oh, that's cool. Right. And then the more they got to know you, they hear like, well, you trained for this many years and this and that.
Then
and
I'd
like,
say, oh, I know how to skate.
Oh my God, I was just going to make that joke. You know how to skate. That's okay. So good.
Yeah. But continue. I couldn't resist.
Okay, that was funny. So then that person, as the more they get to know you, they would be like, oh my gosh, tell me all the ways and like, wait, you really can skate, right? And that, even though it sounds like the same question, it is like a different, deeper level of understanding. Right. So it might be like Arjuna going, oh my gosh, I know you told me you have strength and wealth and like all these opulences, but now I know so much more about you. Right. That cannot be the limit of your opulences. Yeah. Like there's so much more, right?
Yeah. You know, I love that we have this podcast because if anyone or if myself was reading this alone, we might think, haven't I heard that? Let me keep going. And you don't think twice about it, you know? Yeah. So everything has so much more meaning.
But for imagine you're actually standing in front of God and he's telling you about himself. Like, I'd be like, okay, just keep talking. Just keep talking. I love you. Just keep talking. And it's also like, if you're actually standing in front of God, it's like, you know, in the cartoons where like you can't believe something. So sometimes the character like rubs their eyes and goes, you know, like it's like Arjuna's like having that moment like, oh my God, you're like, I can't believe my eyes. Like, please tell me again, you know? Yeah.
Wow. That was amazing. What was that noise that person would make again?
Oh, no, that's it. So like they're rubbing their eyes and goes,
You know what you did the first time?
I was saying it so fast. I didn't get the right cartoon.
It was really funny. There we go. Okay, you've tuned it. You got it to the perfect noise.
Thank you, Pia. We all add different things to this podcast. We really do. We have different strengths and weaknesses.
Agreed. You guys are amazing. I'm grateful to be here.
Hey, thanks for birthing us.
Okay.
All right, what else on 16? It's a very short verse, so hopefully we don't take too long
on it.
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
She was like jumping. Right. Hopefully we don't take too long. Moving on.
All right. Chapter 10, text number 17. Arjuna is also speaking again. He says, O Krishna, O supreme mystic, how shall I constantly think of you and how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Amazing. Hmm.
So interesting because, again, we might have touched upon this, but now he like knows Krishna. So he's kind of retouching it upon subjects. And in the purport, it kind of says, as it was stated in the previous chapter, Krishna's covered over by his yoga maya. Like you've described it beautifully, Shama, when you said Yogamaya was like the dearest devotee of Krishna who wanted to protect him, right?
Yep.
What else?
So Maya Devi is a demigod. She's like the illusion, right? She's everything in Kali Yuga that binds us, right? Mm. And that keeps us reincarnating over and over again. But you have to remember that Maya Devi is actually a sweet, really, really sweet servant of Lord Krishna, you know? Mm. And all she wants to do is protect Krishna. Mm-hmm. So she's going to put a lot of obstacles in your way to make sure that you don't break Krishna's heart.
Yeah, absolutely. So exactly what you're saying lines up with, okay, he's covered over by his greatest devotee, Yogamaya. Only surrendered souls and devotees can see him. And now that Arjuna is convinced that his friend Krishna is the supreme Godhead, but he wants to know still the general process by which the all-pervading Lord can be understood by everyone. Right. And that kind of addresses a question one of you asked in the previous episode about, did Arjuna know Krishna was God before this?
Yeah, me.
Right? So he didn't know, but he knew. So now it kind of talks about, okay, now he's convinced that he saw him more as his friend, his cousin, Krishna. He is the supreme Godhead. He's totally convinced now. It's just more in his face.
Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful, inquisitive mindset that Arjuna is in. And I think we should really try to walk into this mindset and have this mindset for ourselves. He's standing in front of God, like asking him, how can I love you? Mm. And it's like,
and remember
how I remember you. How can I think of you? How shall I know you? Like, it's kind right. of this beautiful notion of like when you really, really love someone, you want to know everything about them, right?
Right.
And a lot of times we just love, but then we don't know that person's love languages, right? Mm. And so he's kind of asking Krishna right now, what are your love languages? Because I want you to know that I love you and I want to love you in the way that you want to be loved.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I love that you're talking about it in the sense of how Arjuna loves Krishna, because also to me, it stands out that he's loving him in not a possessive way, but in a way that he wants everyone to love Krishna too, you know?
Yeah.
Because since Krishna is guarded by his Yogamaya energy, it says how senior devotees or very advanced souls, they're not only concerned for their own understanding, but for the understanding of all of mankind. So Arjuna is really trying to hone in on these questions that he already gets, you know? He's asking it for us. Like, spell it out for me, Krishna. Because I'm sure they could have their own telepathic understanding that we wouldn't follow.
Yeah. It also says here that referring to Yogamaya being like this devi that binds us to different things in this material world that make us kind of reincarnate over and over again until we really are sort of worthy of Krishna, you know, in a sense.
Yeah.
Here it's saying that because we are materialist because of that, right? Like we're in this material world and it is Yogamaya kind of puts it in front of us and we take it here and there. We're trying to be in the path of Krishna consciousness, but in a sense we are materialist. So it says, because materialists cannot understand Krishna spiritually, they are advised to concentrate the mind on physical things and try to see how Krishna is manifested by physical representations. And I think this phrase is especially giving us the reinforcement of why we have a Supreme Personality of Godhead that is tangible, not just the light, right? Because sometimes we need that physical representation of Krishna to really understand him better, because there's so much Maya, so much materialism around us that can, and so how do we stay remembering Krishna is just by kind of including Krishna in our everyday lives, by feeding him, by, you know, all the activities that we do with someone who is around us. And therefore we have deities, pictures that we worship to keep a present presence of Krishna, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A present presence of Krishna. I love that. And because, you know, if Krishna really is everywhere, all powerful, couldn't, if we pray, he also enter this form of the deity so we can worship that. So as you say, we can have a physical presence present.
Yeah. And just to tack on what you were saying, Priya, it's like Krishna or Arjuna is asking this very specific question. In what various forms are you to be remembered? Okay. So he's like giving Krishna the opportunity to tell us how he wants to be remembered. And so later in on this chapter, Krishna's going to give us a list of things that he is, like the sun and the moon and the effulgence and all that stuff. And so Arjuna is setting him up for that question so that in this world that's filled with Maya, filled with illusion, like we can look up at the sun and think of Krishna or the moon and think of Krishna. And so like he's hinting at this notion of like, okay, Krishna, how do you want us to remember you in this crazy world that we're living in?
Sharma,
you know?
How do you want us to remember you in this crazy world we're living in?
Me or Krishna?
You.
Ooh.
You know, because that's your friend. We should ask similar stuff.
Wow. You ever see a question? You ever see a birthday clown? I want you to think of me. Okay. All right. That's how I want to be
remembered. Bring joy to everyone.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hog, hog, you got it, girl.
Yeah. That's a
giving
good
clown vibes.
It's giving clown. It's giving red nose.
And you know, I love also, Arjuna's names for Krishna are so specifically tailored to what's being said, because here it says he addresses Krishna specifically as Yogin because Sri Krishna is the master of the Yoga Maya energy.
Ooh, nice.
So also I'm sure then we could pray to Krishna as Yogin to please help us see him beyond all of the coverings that we may have.
For sure.
Yeah. Anything else on 17?
Nope.
am I going to read?
Shamali text 18.
Oh my God. Okay, let's try to do better than last time.
Thank God. That was funny.
Okay. O Janardhan, Arjuna says, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words.
Oh, I love this.
He's kind of addressing the repetition we hear. It's going to dive into that more in the purport, but things that we might feel like, okay, we've heard that, right? But we're going to go into more depth because it's you can never get tired of hearing the pastimes of Krishna.
Yeah. Arjuna is definitely not tired. He's not tired. He's not satiated. He wants to know more. Literally, if you have God standing in front of you, you wouldn't want that conversation to end, you know?
Yeah, like think of those beautiful conversations. Let's say you have when you're getting to know someone and the romance is there. They feel eternal and you never want it to end, right?
Yeah. Or if you ever met like someone who you found to be very important to you.
Yeah.
Or
she's talking about us again.
Yeah. It's definitely
100%.
It's me and Shamley, right?
She laughs politely.
Yeah, I know. It's such a polite laugh. Oh. She's like, won't even make eye contact with us right now.
No. It's 100% y'all. Oh, yeah. Look at me making all the eye contact.
Oh, wow. That's intense. That's stop intense. Looking at me.
Okay, love it. Thank you.
Anyways, in the purport it says, Arjuna is interested in hearing about Krishna and specifically how he remains as the all-pervading Supreme Lord. Which I thought that was an interesting phrase. I wonder what
did that mean to you?
I'm wondering if Arjuna's like, I see you as the Lord, I see you as the Supreme. How do you maintain that? Like, how are you ever existing?
Right. Right. Because to me, you're like my friend, you're my cousin, I love you, you're here in front of me. So how do you still have all of that other stuff going on?
Yes, kind of. Yeah. Right. That's what I was visualizing.
You know, it says that a similar statement was made by Suta Goswami. And he said, one can never be satiated even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. Those who have entered into a transcendental relationship with Krishna relish at every step the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord.
Yeah. And I think that's the mood that we should be in, whether we're in Krishna consciousness for like a month or like 30 years, right? I think this mood that Arjuna is in, I am never satiated in hearing about you. For the more I hear about you, I want to taste the nectar of your words. And I think that, like, you know, when you are falling in love with someone and like you could just listen to them talk for hours and hours and hours, and their stories can be so boring, but like you can literally just like listen to them because you are in love with them. Yeah. And it's just like you need to have that type of love for Krishna no matter where you are in your journey of Krishna consciousness, you know, like hearing and remembering and being like Arjuna in this situation is so important.
Yeah
I know how that you guys were making fun of me earlier for but I do feel that, like, I feel for like what? Every time we get together,
I can't remember what we were making fun of you for. which part was it?
You'll understand in a second. I think every time we get together and we read the Bhagavad Gita, I'm just like, yes, more, please. Like hearing you guys say more about Krishna, hearing, like just reading more about Krishna, I'm like, yeah, I want to learn. Like, this is so amazing and fascinating. And I do think as a neophyte devotee, just someone who's not like advanced at all, I feel like I've read it myself and it's interesting, but sometimes, you know, the Maya gets to me, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm this, I'm that. And I don't really, or like, oh, I've read 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 pages. Just whatever. Okay, it's done. But when I'm reading with y'all, your association, your energy, like the interest that you guys have yourself, it makes me want to learn more about Krishna.
Wow. We made fun of you for that? I don't recall.
I feel like I made fun of her for that.
Shame on you. Shame on you, Shama.
No, but like Krishna talked about this a couple episodes. I mean, Krishna didn't talk about this in the Modern Yoga Podcast, but we talked about Krishna talking about this. Like the more that we converse with each other, like in a community and like with friends, like we get joy from that, right? Yeah. And you can see in this verse that Arjuna is getting joy from talking about Krishna.
Yeah. Like I always leave these sessions with you guys feeling satisfied in a way that nothing else leaves me feeling. No hangout, no nothing. Like it's such a...
Really?
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Really? No, really. It's this very like deep, like to your core sense of this is so profound and meaningful, and you can feel Krishna smiling at you in a way that, let's say, whatever, I don't know, if you go for a more... Yeah, hangout times are really nice and important for yourself and for feeling that connection. But this is different. This is and more.
Yeah, there's an intimacy there, right? That like our friendship is so different in a way because like we have this common thing that's so intimate. And all we do is we talk about Krishna. We talk about other things too. But like when we get on the podcast, it's all about Krishna. And like there is this level of intimacy that you can have with devotee relationships that's
absolutely
so beautiful.
Like this connection that the three of us now have and we've had it. That's why we started the podcast, or that's why you cast us. But now that it's morphed into something that goes beyond us even. It's beyond our connection to include something that's into the realm of the eternal. And that's amazing.
Yeah. You know? And I hope that when you're listening, you can feel that too, right? Because,
yeah.
because it, this is not just for the three of us. We love this book. We love Krishna, obviously. But like, we also want so many people to hear this. So I hope you can feel that love in your heart. And when you listen to every single episode, that sparks that that affection for Krishna in your heart as well.
Yeah, and inspiration. Because for me, it's inspiration. Every time I do this with y'all, even when I read Srimad Bhagavatam with others, I just feel inspired to keep learning about Krishna. So hopefully we can inspire you to continue wanting to learn about Krishna and to keep coming back and keep hearing about Krishna. And just
We really need to make those bracelets, WWAD. What would Arjuna do? Because he's pretty great.
He is pretty great.
Yeah.
Okay, where and were we?
There's one more part of the purport I like. It says this nectar that, you know, the pure devotees or just anyone can feel when talking about Krishna, it's perceived by practical experience. And I like this comparison Prabhupada makes. He says, modern stories, fictions, and histories are different from the transcendental pastimes of Lord in that we get tired of hearing these mundane stories, right? There's only so many times you can rewatch a movie before it's like, all right, I'm done. Most movies barely once. But you never get tired of hearing about Krishna because it's ever fresh. And it really makes me think that it's all in our consciousness how deep we feel this. So as we evolve, we can continuously hear the same story and go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why most spiritual masters, they perceive levels that's like, they have to spell it out for us. And we're like, whoa, I didn't even catch that from the story, you know? Yeah. So that's why Prabhupada ends the purport with saying, in this way, the reading matter remains forever fresh despite repeated readings. And I love that thought.
Agreed.
That's true. How many times have you read a story about Krishna? Mm. Like, we know stories about Krishna, and they're not boring, you know? Mm-hmm. Where everything else is so boring.
Yeah. Yeah. So boring.
So boring.
You don't know Keisha. Yeah. Gazes off into the distance.
Yeah. Anything else before we go to chapter or text number 19?
19?
Wow.
Yeah. Priyadarshini. Nice.
Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, ooh, Krishna speaking.
Krishna speaking.
Okay. Okay. It's a back and forth now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, or Arjuna, for my opulences are limitless.
Oh, I love this. So Krishna's like, okay, I'm going to tell you everything that you're asking for, but I'm only going to give you the high level because nobody has time for the details because I am literally everything.
And not only do you not have time, even if I spelled it out for you, you'd never get it anyway. Oh. No, I mean, with love, of course. It's just too much. Right, because it says it's not possible to comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his opulences because our senses of the individual soul, they're limited and don't permit us to even understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. So still, as devotees, we try to understand Krishna, but not on the principle that we'll really be able to understand Krishna fully at any specific time or in any state of life, Prabhupada writes. That's so funny. Like, we know in principle we'll never be able to get it, but here's the fine line. Krishna knows that we don't understand the extent of our opulences, so he agrees to state the main principal manifestations of his different energies. And that's why Prabhupada says the word, I'm going to skip the Sanskrit, the word principle is very important because we can understand only a few of the principal details of the Supreme Lord because his features are unlimited. So
there are two really nice characteristics that I like in people, and that is self-awareness and efficiency.
Oh, efficiency. And you're speaking my language.
I feel like Krishna is so self-aware and so efficient in this verse in particular, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to tell you what you need to know, what you've asked for, but I will only tell you the important things because I'm self-aware enough to know that I don't need to tell you everything.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? Love that.
He's like, my dream man.
I know. He's even my dream man. You know? I know.
I'll hop on that bandwagon. We're Krishna fangirls.
Exactly, right? And so like he's like super self-aware to be like, okay, I'm not insecure. You don't need to know everything. I don't need to brag about everything. I know myself. I have confidence. And I'm also going to spare you the details and give you the most high level things that you need to know in order for you to advance, you know?
I love it. That was great.
Really good, Chama.
Self-awareness and efficiency.
Look at
what
you.
What a great man Krishna is.
Sexy qualities.
But you gathered this from this purport. That's really unique.
Thank you.
Really good.
Okay, guys.
Anything else? What else we got on 19?
Shamali's like a million things.
No, only one more thing.
I'm good.
Just one part. It says, both in the material world and in the spiritual world, his energies are distributed in every variety of manifestation. And when I read that, I just sat with that for a second thinking, what would that even look like?
Can you say
like?
That again? That was that too fast.
Talking about how we can't possibly extend all of Krishna's energies, it says, both in the material world and in the spiritual world, Krishna's energies are distributed in every variety of manifestation. So like, everything everywhere all at once, basically, you know, like, can you conceptualize that? Yeah. Like, what does that even look like? Yeah. They're distributed in every variety of manifestation.
Well, isn't that just saying that Krishna is in everyone's heart, every like a living thing, everything?
Everything. But yeah, like, but we don't even know what we don't know what's out there. Like science hasn't reached the realms of this creation. So for just sure. Imagine Krishna being everywhere, but in all aspects of the word everywhere, like, whoa, I don't know. It just really hit me when I read that.
For sure. Super fascinating.
It's giving totality.
Okay.
I'm going to be doing this a lot. So just get on the bandwagon now. All right. Anything else before we move on to text 20?
I think that's it.
I've even lost track of who's supposed to read this.
I think
you.
Me. No.
Oh,
you.
Girl.
Oh, wow.
Shama, it's okay. Your turn.
All right. Chapter 10, text number 20. Krishna is saying, I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings.
Oh, I love this.
Wow.
Read it one more time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Krishna is saying, I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. Mm. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Jai.
Mm. Why do you guys think he says the end? I get the beginning and the middle.
Well,
what comes, is the end if we're eternal?
Maybe the end of our physical bodies, right?
Yeah.
Because what came to my mind, and maybe it elaborates in the purport, maybe what came to my mind is when my spiritual master was passing away and he said, no, I'm not afraid. I'm dealing with Krishna here. If I were dealing with death, that would be a whole other thing. But I'm dealing with Krishna. So Krishna comes to us in the form of death to take us back to him.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice to know, like, I've been reading a little bit of, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Garuda Purana.
You scholar, you. Do tell.
I'm just obsessed with death. So that, like, that particular Purana is like really goes into like what happens at death and like how many days until, it just goes into a lot of details about what actually happens at death. And it's so beautiful to know that like there's multiple parts where it says like, if you were a devotee of Lord Vishnu, like if you're a devotee of Krishna, like he takes care of you at the end. And it's like stated so many times where it's just so beautiful to know that like, your Guru Maharaj was exactly right. Krishna's going to be there for us. If we've tried to be there for him our entire life, there's no way that he's going to let us go by ourselves into the darkness. Just, you know, he's going to be there. And there's proof of that in that Purana.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the purport, there's another little tidbit that describes about the beginning, the middle, maintainer, and the end. When it says, Krishna says that the Supreme Lord Krishna, he's the cause of all causes. He lies down in the cosmic ocean as Mahavishnu. Therefore, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestations, and the end of all energy. So that's kind of mirroring the text, but in regards to the whole creation, right? Mm-hmm. So he's the beginning and the middle and the end of us beings, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the creation, and et cetera, for everything and everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Boy, I would not want his day job.
Oh, I get it. The end of all beings.
What did you get?
I think I just, maybe this is, I don't know, we might find out later as we go on, but the end of all beings means like he could be the end of us.
Mm.
Like if anyone can be the beginning, the creator, he can also be the destroyer, right? Like all like starting, maintaining and ending, right?
Yeah. Would he ever though really choose to end our souls? Maybe just end our existence as we know it
and place
our soul somewhere else because the soul can't be destroyed.
No. He already said that the soul can't be destroyed.
I don't think that it's a matter of whether he would do it, but rather that he has the capacity to do it.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all power, that is his power.
Sure, he can do it. But
you know what? I do think this is about the super soul, right?
Paramatma.
He says, I am the super soul or Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Interesting. Yeah. Maybe we'll find out more.
Yeah.
My cousin actually is like, she's kind of like, you know, in LA, we call them like woo-woo type of people, you know, like the people that are like super into like crystals and like alignment of the chakras and like all that stuff.
Right, well, right.
I always think she's like so nuts, but like she also like, she doesn't listen to this podcast. Actually, she has listened to a couple episodes, but I love her, but she's just, you know, she's like, she believes in all this stuff. And I think that there's some truth to a little bit of it. Like it's like really watered down new age stuff. But I think that like sometimes when she's trying to make a decision. Oh God, I love her. She's so beautiful. Okay. When she's trying to make a decision, she's like, just ask your body because your body always knows. And I feel like the deeper version of that is like, ask Krishna, Krishna will tell you, right?
So Krishna in your heart.
The Krishna in your heart will tell you, right?
Yeah.
And so like literally should be like asking a question as to what decision she needs to make about like a future career, right? And then she'll be like, okay, I'm going to ask my body. So she asks the question, she listens to her body, and then like, she like listens very intently and her body will tell her by her breathing and her heart, she'll know. And it's just like, it's kind of crazy because I tried it and it feels like, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like a placebo, but I feel like Krishna can tell you subtly.
Yeah.
Like because he is in our heart. He is in our heart as Paramatma. And I feel like our bodies always know the right answer if we just tune in and are quiet enough to listen to him speaking to us.
Right, yeah. Right. Because yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Because like when they say like, what's your gut instinct, or she's calling it your body, it totally is the soft whisper of the super soul that it's always there. It's just our mind is much louder and prevents us from hearing the soft whisper of the super soul.
Yeah.
And he's seated. He's telling you exactly where he is in your body too. Mm. He literally says, I'm seated in the hearts of all living entities. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. I love that.
In the verse, I love that Arjuna continues with the creative titles for Krishna, because in the verse, Arjuna's addressed at. Sorry, I was about to say Arjuna addresses Krishna. In this verse, Arjuna's addressed as Gudakesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep, or in other words, the darkness of ignorance. Because if you're ignorant, it's really, you can't understand the true greatness of Krishna. So, this address by Krishna to Arjuna, Prabhupada says, is really significant because Arjuna's really above such darkness. And that's why the personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. So Krishna first begins by informing Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire cosmic manifestation and so on and so forth. So I really like that they both have such spot on names for each other. Mm. They always hint at what they're appreciating in each other.
Super sweet.
Anything else before we go to text 21?
I just like to think that one last part. Yes. So he says, okay, we've experienced that the personal body, it can't exist without the little spark of the spirit soul of Krishna in us, the spiritual spark. And similarly, the material manifestation can't develop unless the supreme soul Krishna enters. So I love to think that this whole material manifestation has Krishna also as a soul. It's like an entire being, so to speak.
Yeah. I love that. Oh my God, Shamli,
we're on 21.
We're on you.
Me again.
Yeah, I know. We never get to this.
We never get to meet twice. All right, let me not blow it. Okay. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon.
Ooh, do you remember? Oh, wait, actually, can you repeat that? Shamli?
Yes. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. No idea what that means. And among the stars, I am the moon.
Wow.
Marichi, what?
Okay, so do you remember like a couple verses ago, Arjuna was asking a question. He was asking, hey, Krishna, in what various forms are you to be remembered?
Did you just remember that from memory? That was really
good. I remembered that Arjuna was asking a very specific question, right? Because he was like, hey, Krishna, like, how can I think of you? How can I know you? How can I remember you? But really specifically, he says, in what various forms are you to be remembered? Mm. And I think that because of the craziness of material life and all the distractions that we have, right, Krishna gives us really tangible ways of how he can be remembered. So he says, I am of lights, I am the radiant sun, right? Among the stars, I am the moon. So every time that you see those two objects in the sky, Krishna wants you to remember him, you know? I was talking to someone about this the other day, where it's like, what are the real manifestations of God that we can actually see with our eyes? And this was someone who was a non-devotee. And they said, you know, the sun, because like, it's like miraculous, you know? And I said, yeah, the sun is kind of like the only God that we can see with our eyes. You know, it's true. Wow. And it's like Krishna is that sun. It is the moon. Like literally those are the two constant reminders. If you never have anything else in your life, you never have any deities to look at or anything else in life, you can always just look up and be like, okay, Krishna is there. Krishna is there. And he got me and he's watching me and he's giving us these tangible forms that, and Arjuna's asking like, how do you want to be remembered? And it's like, Krishna's just like, look up, bro. That's it. Like I'm there, you know?
I love that. A constant reminder of Krishna's presence. And also because those are the most, like you said, the sun is the only visible form of a God that we see in the sky. So they're the topmost beautiful, powerful, large, bright. So that's why Krishna would be those out of everything. Mm-hmm. And the purport goes on to say, among the luminaries shining in the sky, the sun is the chief. And in the Brahma Samhita, the sun is accepted as the glowing eye of the Supreme Lord. What did you say the other day, Shyam, about the glowing eye? You said something about the glowing eye and the sun.
What did I say?
I have like a video. Maybe I'll post it on Modern Yogi so they can see. But you said about if the sun is Krishna's eye, he's there winking at you because you only see one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we were doing a photo shoot for Modern Yogi Podcast. Yeah. And you'll see it come out, hopefully. You'll see if it come out. We're trying to do like a brand new rebrand. We're trying to come up with a brand new logo and a new image, because when we started this podcast, literally we thought four people were listening. And so we didn't pay really a lot of attention to our logo and our branding. But now that I think a lot of you on Instagram, and we're so grateful for all of our followers. So we decided to do this whole rebrand, and we did this photo shoot right by the ocean. And in California, the sun is setting and it's the most beautiful sunsets in California. We're very, very blessed and we're so lucky. But every time you can see that sunset, like I think of Krishna, you know?
Right. And as far as the moon goes, it says, among the stars, the moon is the most prominent at night. And thus the moon represents Krishna. So that's why we talk about the moon as Krishna, because of all of the shining objects in the night sky, the moon is the most, the biggest one there. Oh, and the Marichi thing, there's one thing, because I said, what does that even mean? There's one line that it says, there are 50 varieties of wind blowing in space. And of these winds, the controlling deity, Marichi, represents Krishna. So it's basically saying of this, the topmost would be Krishna. Of that, the topmost would be also Krishna.
Yeah. As I looked it up too, Marichi is one of seven great sages. And it says I'm not sure if it seems like it's a she. Is a goddess of light and protector against evil spirits. So just different super powerful gods in the universe that represent different aspects of the universe and stuff and the world and the existence of everything.
I love that.
Beautiful.
Have you guys ever been on like a boat like in at nighttime and the only object is like a full moon in the sky? Have you ever experienced that? Mm-hmm. It's literally the coolest feeling in the world, because like it is literally the brightest thing and it lights the ocean like a flashlight. And it's so divine and heavenly that it's just like, oh my God, of course the moon would be Krishna. Of course that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also incredibly, powerful. We oftentimes think that the sun is like the light, right? We correlate that in our minds. We don't necessarily, we think of the moon as darkness, but the moon is actually incredibly bright. Like you were saying, like if you go out, the power of the moon is sometimes not really appreciated or described, but it is incredibly powerful, where it moves the ocean, like all the powerful things that the moon can give. So
I'd like to give some homework to our Modern Yogi Podcast listeners.
What's the homework?
The homework is that if you're ever having a day where you're feeling super grateful, or a day that you're feeling super down, and you see the sun or the moon in the sky, your homework is to talk to that, talk to Krishna, right? Mm. Talk to Krishna, whether it's the moon or whether it's the sun. Just know that they're there. Like, that is the physical representation of Krishna. And Krishna's saying that himself, right? So the homework is, whenever you see either of those, you have to have a conversation with Krishna. I don't care if it's about tacos. I don't care if it's about hippopotamuses or traffic. I don't care what it's about. But either you see either of those two things.
Nice.
And you
have
to have a conversation with Krishna.
When was your last conversation with the moon?
Oh my God. The moon last night, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it about?
I was chanting japa by the water.
Japa
by the
night walk.
Yeah,
those are awesome.
By the ocean. And I saw the moon and I was just like, oh, hey, Krishna, how's it going? Yeah. It was very small conversation, but it was a conversation, you know, because you literally see, like, you see how tiny you are in this entire expansive universe. And it's just so beautiful. So the homework is, you see either of those two, you have to have you have to spark a conversation with Krishna.
Spark a conversation. I love that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should we do one more?
I don't know. Yeah, we could. Yeah, let's do it. Let's
there's
go crazy.
Really no purport. Yeah. All right. Oh my goodness.
Okay. All right, one more.
Of the Vedas. Okay, before I get started. So basically Krishna is just starting to say all the things he is. All
He's
the
listening.
Ways to remember him.
Yeah.
This is so exciting, guys.
Okay, I love it.
Okay. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Of the demigods, I am Indra, the king of the heaven. Of heaven. Mm. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am the living force or consciousness.
So the most powerful things in all arenas.
Yeah.
Interesting that he mentioned the mind. Of the senses, of I am the mind. Because right, the mind is what can trap us. It can become a prison or liberate us. It's so strong if we let ourselves be guided by our intelligence. So like Krishna is like the most powerful thing in each arena.
Yeah, because I think if you have, you can have knowledge about something, but your mind decides how you use it.
Yeah,
so basically,
absolutely.
It's like you can either overthink, underanalyze, not think at all. It's all about how you use your mind. So Krishna's like, I'm the mind. I'm the Samaveda. I am, if I were to be a demigod, I'd be Indra.
And Indra is the king of the demigods, right?
Yes,
So imagine Indra being in charge of a whole bunch of different demigods. And so Krishna is in charge of Indra.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
In the purport, which is like one line really, Prabhupada decides to emphasize something about consciousness, which is, I think, interesting to bring up. He says, the difference between matter and spirit is that matter has no consciousness like the living entity. Therefore, this consciousness is supreme and eternal, right? So that whatever supreme and eternal within each facet is Krishna. And consciousness, he says, cannot be produced by a combination of matter.
Can you say that in like to a fifth grader?
Ooh.
Right. Wait, let me read it one more time myself.
I can start us off if you want.
Go for it, Shama.
Where it's like, I think we've used this analogy before, but when you're at a funeral and you see a dead body in front of you, right? It's an open casket. And like that, like what has left that body in order for it to not be there anymore, right? Like, oh, I can't believe that this person is gone. But what makes that person, quote unquote, gone? It is the absence of consciousness that makes that person, quote unquote, gone. The body is still there. We can see the body.
Got it.
But the absence of consciousness is what makes them, quote unquote, gone. And Krishna is that consciousness. He is that living force.
Got it. So you're saying like the body is, in this case, they're talking about matter, just like, like
flesh.
A table. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have consciousness. But when you add Krishna in our heart, then we have consciousness.
Yeah. And no amount of tables can be added up to create that spark of life.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's so beautiful. Anything else, ladies?
No, we got through so many.
I know. We did a lot of verses in this episode. I am extremely happy about that. Thank you so much.
We are a little, if you hold the book now, we've tilted the scales to be a little over halfway through
in
the book.
Yes. I'm excited.
I'm super excited for the next text because we're going to learn all the ways in which we can remember Krishna and think of Krishna in a different way. Mm. And it's going to be pretty cool. It's like, of this, I'm this, and of this, I'm this, and of this, I'm this, and
of this, and of this, and of this, and of this, and of this, and of this. All right, don't forget your homework, ladies and gentlemen. And then next episode, we will start with chapter 10, text number 23. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.